Hi, and welcome to A Drummer's Guide To, the podcast all about the things it takes to be a professional musician aside from actually playing your instrument, which I'm going to take as a given. It's an endless thing. You can always learn more. We can all always learn more. So, yes, go do it. Always get better. All the time. Growth. Yes. Right. Anyway, so today I would like to talk about, it's probably one of my favourite subjects, and I've done a few episodes on this now, but just taking slightly different perspectives. And today I would like to talk about process goals. So this episode was actually inspired by one of my mentoring clients, Louis. Shout out, Louis. I know you're one of the first people that always listens to these episodes as they come out. So basically, me and Louis, we had a session and we were talking about sort of like goals for this year and all that sort of stuff. And it got me thinking about what the goals should be focusing on, because in the past, for instance, my goals growing up were very, I say growing up, I mean up until fairly recently, to be honest, my goals were things like, so when I was very young, it was, I want to be a professional drummer. Like, that is the goal. Then the goal was, I want to be on tour. Then the goal was, I want to be working with a particular sort of caliber of artist. Then it was, I would like to, when I opened the studio, remote recording studio, it was like, I want to get X amount of clients, you know, or it was a monetary goal, or I my goal is to earn X amount of money. Now, these are all fine. These are all fine goals. But for me, they're kind of only a very small part of the puzzle. And actually, the thing that I've realized probably in the last, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years, something like that, is that actually, rather than focusing on those big goals, which also are fairly vague, like, okay, you want to get on tour with this artist, well, what does that mean? Like, what are you talking about? What do, like, how? And I think that kind of actually is the crux of this. Like, how? How do you get X amount of clients? How are you going to earn X amount of money? You know, how are you going to get on the road touring? And actually, the goals, I was going to say could be centered around the process rather than the end result, if that makes sense. So, and again, this is something that I kind of focused on. I think the thing that really opened my eyes to this, actually, I'm just trying to think about what made me realize this. I think it's been a gradual kind of realization since I was younger, and I noticed that a common theme with professional musicians was that they were doing a lot of whatever they were doing all of the time. So I think I started focusing on just doing a lot of the thing that I wanted to be doing versus the thing itself, like the actual end goal. But something that really, really just made it so obvious to me is that I did this this course. It's called the Six Figure Home Studio course. I'm not even sure that's right. Anyway, it's basically a course to, it's mainly for sort of producers and stuff like that who run studios. And it was about getting clients and stuff like that. And rather than focusing on, you know, in fact, it was like a reverse goal, which I love. I think this is such a great way to think about things. One of the things on this sort of like course, this accountability program part of this course, was that we had to reach out to people, and the goal was to get 3 rejections, I think it was. So you had to reach out to enough people that they would, like, it wasn't even for your services, it was for something else. I can't remember, but the goal was to get rejected, which I just thought was fascinating. And it changed my view on what goals should and shouldn't be. And I know I hate the word should, but here we are. So, and again, a reverse goal, I think, is such a great way to do things. Like, the goal being to get rejected, it's excellent. Anyway, but it was more about the process. It was about noticing how many people you had to reach out to get rejected. And obviously, consequently, you end up getting hired or, you know, creating new relationships and all that sort of stuff. So I've really focused on, in the last few years, these process goals, and I just wanted to take you through a few of mine, why I do them. You know, obviously, as always, I will give you full transparency about what each sort of process goal affords me and why I do it. So for instance, this podcast that you are either listening to or watching right now, the process goal that I have for this is to record a new episode every week, right? I've started doing multiple episodes a week, actually, to sort of stack them up, which is working really well at the moment. I'm not saying I will continue, but basically I give myself one day a week to just do it as I see fit, whether that's one episode, whether that's three episodes, and edit them and upload them and whatnot. But anyway, the process goal is to produce an episode. And the byproduct of that, because that's what it is for me, it's the goal is the process, the byproduct is kind of, it is what it is, because I can't control the end result of, I can aim towards something, but I can't control the end result, so I can only put into the machine as much as I think is necessary or is useful to hopefully get the result, but the result is not an indicator of whether I was successful or not. And I can adjust the process goal that I'm obviously focusing on, but yeah, I'm trying to focus on, right, for instance, today, this is the second episode that I am recording today. Today has been a success. I have reached my goal already, even though I haven't edited them yet, but that's kind of the easy bit. That's not too difficult. But the byproduct of that is basically this podcast, essentially, and again, I'm being fully transparent with you guys, this podcast is a platform for you to get to know me, and obviously, hopefully, I can help you in some way, I can inspire you in some way, I can encourage you in some way, I can give you some form of accountability, and I love that. Inherently, this podcast is one of the things that gives me the greatest joy, right? But a byproduct of this podcast is that, you know, people will then feel like they've gotten to know me a bit and maybe feel that I can influence them more or help them more on a more one-to-one personal basis. So they might reach out for mentoring or coaching. And obviously, that's great. It's part of what I do for my living and I love it. So that's a really, really nice byproduct. But that's not the goal. It's never been the goal of this podcast. It's the same with people reaching out for recording. You know, I'm a what I would consider a mediocre drummer. There are thousands upon thousands of drummers that are more brilliant than I am, that have more swish studios with, you know, they present a better product than I do and whatnot. I'm not saying I can't play. I make my living, but the point is, people don't reach out to me because I'm necessarily the best player. What they do reach out for me for their drums is because they already feel connected to me, that they already feel that there is a relationship there and we've got a starting point and it's more of a personality thing. And again, just a byproduct. Same with the Patreon subscribers. By the way, I've already forgotten to say thank you to the Patreon subscribers. Guys, I'm useless. I'm so sorry, but thank you. Honestly, the fact that you support this podcast is like the biggest compliment to me ever. But again, it wasn't the plan. You know, that Patreon's only been going for a few months, but this podcast has been going since 2018. I really appreciate you, by the way. Thank you so much. But that byproduct, again, is a lovely thing. But again, it's the process goal. It's the process goal of producing an episode every week. That is all it is. And it feeds into other things inadvertently. But those things are just happenstance and a nice sort of like positive outcome that may or may not happen. But then it's certainly not the focus. And I do often find that if that focus changes in terms of like essentially trying to sell things, it changes the dynamic. I mean, I'm feeling awkward even thinking about it. Like, I would never want to sit here and be like, I have this ulterior motive and I just want you to buy my products or, you know, book me for mentoring. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that is gross to me, this under, and plus I'm not being funny, people see straight through it. I know I do. When I see someone that is clearly just trying to sell something, it makes me feel icky. I don't like it. I really don't like it. And that person has to be either have some serious information or be seriously charismatic for me to overlook it. And it's not often that happens. I might think about it, but then I'm like, oh no, it's just gross. It feels gross. And I have this thing about being patronized. It's been a real theme recently. I realized, right, you know how, okay, sorry if you're new here, but if you are, I took up boxing back like 4 months ago, right? In fact, when's this coming out? It will be like 5 months, maybe even 6 months by the time this comes out. But anyway, and I recently started sparring with people. Now, it's very light sparring, I will say, but whenever I am with someone that is taller than me, every time they hit me in the head or the face, which, yes, I know, it sounds intense, it's actually really fun and it's with a lot of love, I promise you. It's really interesting, my reaction to it, because it's not just, oh, I've gotten hit in the face, I should move. There is an element of embarrassment. And there is also an element of patronization. I feel patronized when I'm hit in the head, like by in the head. I'm talking about when there's really tall dudes specifically, they hit me sort of on the top of my head and I find it really patronizing. It's so ridiculous. It's an instantaneous feeling. It's insane. And I've got a friend who recently has realized he's quite a bit taller than me, and he's realized that if he pats me on the head, it sends me into a rage, and he thinks it's the most hilarious thing ever. But I think there is this idea, and weirdly, actually, I'm just thinking about this. Yeah, so patronization is a thing. It's like, so I'm not sure if I've spoken about this on this podcast, actually. So my dad makes a kids' TV show, basically, and so it's him and two other mates that made this show, and their main ethos of this show was like, we never want to patronize the audience. And I am convinced that is why that series was like a big part of why it was so successful, is because this attitude of like, we don't want to treat our audience like idiots, because they're not. And I've definitely kind of like, I don't know, patronization is a real thing for me. Like, if you want to switch me off, then just start patronizing me. It's not the most unattractive quality in humans, but it's probably top five, I'd say, definitely. Top five, maybe at number five, maybe. There's more that I won't go into. I don't often like saying things that really turn me off and enrage me, because I feel like, well, I've had it before. People have used it against me because they think it's funny, but I find it genuinely like, what's the word? I was going to use the word traumatic. It's not the right word, but I can't bear it. I just can't bear it. And there's certain things they just hit a nerve. Anyway, so thinking about that, I thought, right, what other process goals have I been doing or trying to do? And I say trying to do because the overarching theme, the thing that I've always struggled with, that I still struggle with, just when I feel like I'm getting better at it, I take a step back or 10 steps back and I lose it again, and that is replying to emails and messages. Same caveat as I always have whenever I speak about this subject. I apologize if you're waiting on me for an email reply or message reply. I'm sorry, I'm useless, I will get to it eventually, just please be patient. And again, the process goal, I was trying to do, before I was trying to do half an hour a day, half an hour on emails, half an hour on Instagram messages replying. It wasn't working for me. I mentioned that in a was it the Hyperfocus and Flow episode? I mentioned in that, it just wasn't working for me. And I may go back to that way of working, but for now, I'm now doing a dedicated day in the same way I'm doing it for this. So Fridays currently are my replying to emails and messages day, where I just try and get it to basically in Box Zero, if you like, on both counts. It's really hard. It's a lot of work. But as I often say, I guess that's the work part of my job. I get to enjoy so many elements of my job. You know, there are parts that need to feel like work, and emails definitely feel that. Again, I actually enjoy them once I'm replying. It's just looking at the amount that I have to reply to is very overwhelming. But then when I'm actually, you know, chatting to people and getting to hear what everyone's up to, I love it. I just love hearing what everyone's doing, you know, what they're succeeding with, what they're focusing on, if they're struggling with anything, if I can help with anything. It's a privilege. It's a privilege, to be honest. It really, really is. It's just the physicality of sitting down and replying I find very draining. But anyway, that's my cross to bear. So that's one of my process goals, is to kind of like just on a Friday try and get to inbox zero, and I will sit there and I will do the thing until it is done. Again, it's a fairly new one, that one, but it's an endless one, let's face it. Again, if you have any insights into how you stay on top of your emails, please tell me. Please help me. So there's that. And the reason, by the way, I should say the reason for that, because there always needs to be a reason behind everything that I do. The reason for that is that it doesn't matter how good I am at everything else that I do in terms of getting my name out there and what I'm doing, you know, the services that I'm offering. You know, I work with clients recording, I work with them mentoring, as I've already mentioned many times, and I feel quite bad because it's sounding a bit pitchy, I promise you, and I don't mean, oh, I'm not talking vocally, but the point is that the thing that I realized was the biggest friction point with working more for me, getting more clients in whatever capacity that is, was that I was not able to reply quickly enough. So, and I spoke about shortcuts in the last episode. I've tried every blooming shortcut going in terms of trying to make sure that I can stay on top of my emails or try and minimize the impact of my emails. But at the end of the day, I just need to communicate, and often that is via email. So Emily, sort your life out. That is the process goal that I am trying to stay on top of, and I'm doing okay. I'm trying to be kind to myself. I'm not great at that either. So anyway, that's one process goal, because like I say, it seems to be the biggest friction point in terms of business and getting new clients and all that sort of stuff, despite all of the systems that I have in place to kind of minimize all of that. But there we go. Another one is social media. So just like posting consistently on social media, that for me is posting on my feed, which I haven't been that consistent with, I'll be honest, recently, but stories always, because I think that kind of presence in people's feeds is very important. Again, for me, the reason that this process goal is so important is that, like, the it's a byproduct thing again, and for me social media is purely for one thing, and that is to let people to get to know you a little more, and for you to be in their subconscious, to be in their world, and just be top of mind, essentially. So that, say you've got a musician friend who needs a drummer right now, and they're just scrolling, they're doom scrolling through Instagram because they're bored, or they're avoiding something, or procrastinating, or whatever. If they've got that in the back of their head, oh gosh, I need to find a drummer, and then I pop up on their feed in either their up the top bar, the stories bit, or in their actual feed as a post, it might be they go, oh, Emily, she'd be great for that. Yeah, I should get in touch with her. And that's that. And that's why I need to get better at answering emails, because then I need to reply to that email that's about to come into my inbox. Anyway, that is a byproduct. But I can't rely on that. I can't rely on a goal being for 10 people to reach out to me about work. I can't control that. I cannot control that. But I would see it like input data. So, and to me, it's a numbers game. It really is. The more that you put in, the more you're going to get out. It's as simple as that. And so therefore, and it doesn't necessarily mean the more posts you put out, the more interaction you're going to get or the more people that are going to reach out to you. That's not always the case, especially with social media, because obviously I'm sure you have this too. If someone's posting too much and it's just oversaturation, it's like, my goodness, I just can't. I need to unfollow this person. It's too much. It's too much. I'm not that interested. So there is kind of a sweet spot maybe. And by sweet spot, I mean a range. And I don't know what that is. And I think it's different for every person. But I'm willing to kind of experiment with that. And I find that quite fun as a thing. But the point is, my process goal is just to post every day in some form or another. And you know, podcast, I suppose, is a social media platform as well, to post an episode every week. And again, it's just so that people can get to know me, because that's the other thing. You will attract the people that are similar to you or that think similarly or are drawn to you in some way. And personally, I've found that the more open and honest that I am through what I put out there, the more really wonderful people that I find around me, and the more the people that are maybe not aligned with who I am as a person at my core kind of fall away. And it's sad sometimes, and you know, you lose relationships with people that you thought were very strong and very important to you both, and then they're not there anymore. But actually, you know, where I find myself right now, I find myself so lucky with the people that I have around me. It's just unbelievable. So there's that. And then there can be process goals in terms of developing skills, and for me, the process goal in terms of skills is just to normalize the thing. And I've spoken about normalization before. For me, it's just about doing so much of it that it's not a thing anymore. And I'm hoping that you can relate in some way. I always cite the first time I realised about normalisation was the very first gig that I ever played, which was, you know, I remember walking to stage. I was 11 years old and I was so scared and I was so nervous that I felt physically sick. And I have a vomiting phobia. I don't like feeling sick. It's one of my biggest fears. It really is. And I thought, I never want to feel this again. And rather than shying away from it, I just kept going, and I realized the more I did it, the less I felt like that. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I just need to do more of it. I realized that from a very young age, definitely not consciously, but that now is very much my conscious approach. So my process goal, for instance, when I was learning reading, was just to do an hour's worth of reading that I'd kind of like, I'd already set out a syllabus for myself, a boot camp, however you want to put it. I'm extreme like that. And my only goal was just to do an hour a day. It was the process of doing an hour a day. And by the end of 3 months or whatever it was, I happened to be able to obtain the skill that I needed, way above what I needed it to be, so that it was normalized and I wasn't worried about it. That was not a thing anymore. It didn't worry me. It didn't come into the equation of going into the room, as it were, literally into the rehearsal room with these people, with this new situation. The only thing that I was actually scared about was just me as a person and whether I was good enough to be there as a human. But that's something else, and I don't really know how you normalize that. That is one, actually. I need to question myself on that. What would be a process goal to normalize feeling good enough? Answers on a postcard. I'd love to know if you have any thoughts on that, because that is super interesting to me. Same with soloing or improvisation in playing. Normalizing that just became about doing it for half an hour a day. It wasn't about being able to play a particular solo or being in a specific situation. You know, there wasn't a goal of a gig that needed me to solo. It was just about having that skill set normalized. So, and look, don't get me wrong, that is not necessarily completely normalized, but it's way above what it's ever been in my life by a long way. It was the same with recording people in the studio. You know, I didn't know what I was doing and I just wanted to make it normalized. So I just acted as if I was already doing the job. So I was recording stuff for no one, for fake clients, essentially, just so that I could get my skill set together. But again, that was just about doing it daily. It wasn't about the end creation. It was just about getting better at it and doing more of it. Same with, yeah, talking on camera, I guess. It wasn't about necessarily the end result, because I never thought, like, I started doing these talking to camera pieces back in, I want to say 2014 maybe, and maybe 2015. And it was just about normalising that. And it was just about doing lots of it. It wasn't, you know, crikey O'Reilly. Some of the initial videos I did, I remember, now what was it? I would ask people questions. So the whole series called Ask Em. It's on YouTube if you want to see it. You can watch me being probably very awkward on camera. And also chopping out every single, what do you call it? Those in-between words. I can't remember. Anyway, all the ums, all of those pauses, I edited them out because I was so uncomfortable with them. But the point was, it was just about creating the content. Obviously, I got very used to all the ums and the ahs and all the pauses. I've gotten better at just not saying things, leaving a bit of silence, but not, still not great at it, but getting better. But yeah, like I said, the actual videos themselves weren't the thing. It was just the process of doing the thing. So as I said, I did one question that I had in was, have you ever played in Adidas flip-flops? Now this question was very random. The video was equally as random. In hindsight, I think this because I think it's someone that occasionally gets in touch. I think it was a foot fetish thing. Now that I think about it, which is, it is, look, each to their own. I don't want to be a source of material unless I'm aware of it. I don't like being tricked. It's not my favorite thing in the world. So yes, anyway, and yeah, other random kind of things, but the point was, it was more about normalizing talking to camera, and obviously that has afforded me now to be able to release these episodes, which again is just a process goal. It's not about XYZ, like what the end result is, not the goal. It's always just the maintaining of day-to-day goals, and then the product or the content or whatever it is that's the result of that, the byproduct, is kind of just a nice thing rather than the thing and the focus. Because, you know, if you've got a goal of a certain amount of, obviously, look, we've all got needs, and we've all got mortgages to pay, and we've all got bills to pay, so there needs to be a goal of a certain amount of money, for instance, at the end of the month. But rather than focusing on that amount of money, I now focus on, right, say I needed that amount of money, what would be the amount of people that I need to get in touch with, or the amount of, you know, there's all these other equations that are going on first before you end up at this end result of an X amount of money. And that can be, how many clients do I need, you know, how many gigs do I need to do, how many tours do I need to take on a year, you know, how much do I need to charge on those tours, and then work backwards from there of like, okay, and then if that looked like a day-to-day goal, what would that be, so that it would maximize the chance of getting those end goals, if that makes sense. I don't know whether this makes any sense to you, but it really made sense to me, and it was just, it, like I say, it's something I've inadvertently been doing, and it was just through talking to Louis that I was like, oh yeah, like, I could see it click with him, and I was like, oh, this is a thing, maybe I should talk about this. So here we are, what can I say? But yeah, I think it's an interesting thing, and it's just, for me, the focus is just to be consistent. That is the goal. The overarching goal within the goals is just to be consistent with those daily goals. Goal, 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 goal. Many goals, 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 goals. Process goals. So anyway, I hope that this has helped give you some sort of inspiration of kind of looking at goal setting in a different way that is more tangible, you can have more agency over, because I think that's important. There's certainly so many goals that I have had in the past that have, you know, I don't have a lot of control over, and therefore you can often feel like you're failing, or you've failed at a goal, when actually your control over whether that could be achieved or not was like maybe 10%. Like, you were, there were many other factors that needed to be in place that weren't to do with you. And that can be, you know, going to an audition, for instance. My goal is to get the gig. Okay, that's great. Like, why can't the goal be to know that song inside out, you know, all those songs inside out, to normalize it to a point that you're sitting there relaxed, smiling whilst you play, so you can feel so relaxed that you can be yourself around these people. That is a much better goal, not least because then you're presenting yourself in the best way. Now, you don't know what those audition, like what the people in that audition are looking for. And I'm not talking just playing wise, it might be personality wise. Now, if you come in stressed or anxious or whatever, that's going to read. And people are going to think, well, you know, they're anxious in this situation, what are they going to be like on stage? Whereas if you come in confident and relaxed, they're thinking, we feel safe with this person. We feel like we can rely on them. And that is a great starting point. And then if you happen to be great at what you do, which you're going to be, because you're going to make sure that you know that material inside out, they're going to be like, well, this is just logical. Alternatively, you know, it might be just that you're not the right personality, and it's not about being good or bad, it's just different. Like, you're just not, like, for instance, I'm very enthusiastic, especially when I'm coming in to meeting new people. It's how, when I'm nervous, I talk. I talk a lot. And, you know, that's good for some people. But if I'm, for instance, that's great if I'm working with, I don't know, Jedward. Why has that come into my head? I don't know. They're very, for those that don't know, they're a duo, Irish duo, who are twins. They're very, very positive, enthusiastic, borderline maybe hyperactive, I would say. But anyway, if I came in being like very enthusiastic, that's kind of a fit in terms of like personality, right? However, if I come in bounding through the door to an audition for, say, Radiohead, maybe not the right fit, maybe not the right vibe. Now, I'm not saying that I would, and I would absolutely love to play with Radiohead, so if any of you guys happen to be listening, give me a call. Yeah, right. You never know, stranger things have happened, mate. If there's one thing I've learned, life is weird. Life is weird, weird stuff happens, never say never, like, who knows what could happen. So maybe one day you'll see me on stage with them. They do have two drummers, so, you know, there's double the chance that that could happen. You never know. Anyway, right, I'm really going off on tangents here. But yeah, might be worth thinking about process goals versus end result goals. And I think that there's something more fulfilling about that too. Like, right now I'm about to hit stop on this recording and I know that I've hit my goal for the day. That's awesome. And it's only 11:30 in the morning. That's wicked. That is such a win for me. Not to say there's not more things to do today, but I'll take it. If this is all I do today, I'm so happy with that. I'm so happy that I'm able to put out another episode for you. That makes me feel good. So yeah, anyway. Worth a thought, I think. Worth a thought. Anyway, I hope you're keeping well. If you enjoyed this episode, please do feel free to like, share, and subscribe. Also, if you could leave a review for this podcast, I would be eternally grateful. It just helps bump it up in the listings. It helps get it out to more people that might benefit from this random train of thought that I often go down. Also, if you would like to go the extra mile and join the wonderful supporters on Patreon, for who I am eternally grateful. Your support, honestly, I'm so humbled is the only word I could use really by it. The fact that this means that much to you really means everything to me. But yeah, you can go and join them over there, sign up to Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And if you'd like to find out any of the other stuff that I do in this life professionally, you can go to emilydrums.com. Again, if you fancy some one-on-one mentoring, if you fancy me recording on a song for you or an album or whatever, or you just want to reach out and say hi, to be honest, I'm always happy to have a conversation. Just please bear with me with replying to emails. That's all I ask in this relationship. That's all I ask from you, to be patient with me, because I'm useless. I really am. I have all the best intention in the world, but I can be useless when it comes to replying to messages, but I get there eventually. But anyway, I hope that you're keeping well wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and I will see you next time for another subject. All right, see you later. Bye.